negative about raw cotton. It's gained 175,000 comments, most siding with Hobby Lobby, wondering why a plant is racist. USA Radio News.
Hey, Pat.
Did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home Sweet Home.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! Today we're going to talk radical Islam. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you for joining us. Joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. What's going on, Josh?
Well, after a safe Patriots Day in the U.S. and abroad, Colonel, Kim Jong Tiny One had to go and shoot off one of his toy rockets over Japan. All I can say to that is, hashtag loser. But on a congratulatory note, for those of you who have been listening to Frontlines of Freedom for many years, you'll recall one of our previous co-hosts was a lowly Navy O2, Lieutenant JG Mike Cardinale. Better than a butter bar, but still making his way up the food chain. Well, this past weekend, Mike Cardinale proudly pinned on Lieutenant Commander, and in doing so, he thanked everyone who has supported him over the years. Commander Cardinale, thank you for your dedication to our country and for your continued service in the world's greatest Navy. Your former Frontlines of Freedom teammates are incredibly proud of you.
Thanks, Josh. Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby is still on sick leave. It's his leg. Please keep him in your prayers. And Marine vet Skip Curiel is here looking like a happy redneck. What's up, Skip?
You know, people kept calling me redneck, and so I thought, man, I better go on the dictionary and find out what that is. And it turns out redneck is a derogatory term for a poor white person of Southern descent.
Well, you live in Southern Michigan.
Well, and I'm poor, so yeah. Well, actually, it came from the fact that they would work out into the fields all day, and their necks would get sunburned, so they would call them rednecks.
So you could qualify for the Cajun Navy.
I guess I could, yes.
Hey, we're proud to have the Eisenhower Center and After the Impact as studio sponsors. They do wonderful things for people with traumatic brain injury, specifically military veterans, professional athletes, and first responders. Learn more at EisenhowerCenter.com. Here's what we have for you today. On News and Comment by the Colonel, I'm going to suggest that our nation's economy is in real trouble. Dr. Zudi Jasser is a friend and the founder of the American Islamic Forum for Democracy. Like me, Zudi is a proud American, a veteran, and a man of faith. We'll discuss the fact that radical Islam is much, much more than ISIS. Then we'll welcome back to the show Dava Guerin. She'll discuss her new book, Of Vets and Pests. Next, Doug Bradley and Craig Warner will discuss their passion for music from the Vietnam era. I sang those songs during both of my tours in Vietnam. And naturally, Quentin Roberts and I will discuss last week's Service Academy football games and give our projection for this week's games.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then we'd appreciate if you also go out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for News and Comment by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. First, the news. What's first, Josh?
Earlier this month, the Forever GI Bill officially became law. Here's a quick insight on what the new legislation will do for veterans and their families. Here are 10 fixes under this bill. 1. Approximately 1,500 Purple Heart recipients will become eligible for the GI Bill next August. 2. The 15-year time limit to use the GI Bill will no longer exist for new service members discharged on or after January 1, 2013. 3. Education benefits that were pulled unexpectedly from reservists and National Guard members in 2015 will have them re-implemented immediately. 4. A student taking online classes will be compensated more accurately for their cost of living. 5. Children who lost a parent in the line of duty will have access to the Yellow Ribbon program starting next August. 6. The VA can now offer a scholarship to allow a student veteran to finish a STEM degree in science, technology, engineering, and math effective next August. 7. It gives back benefits lost at schools that closed out of nowhere and continues education assistance programs for vets who were disapproved or would not have the term during which their studies were interrupted count toward the aggregate of their GI Bill entitlement. 8. It authorizes additional GI Bill funding for members of the National Guard and Reserve. 9. Under the old rules, a vet would be charged a whole month's entitlement to pay for any national test, like the GRE or SAT. It's now prorated to just the cost of the test itself. And last, the VA will create a 5-year pilot program that gives vets the chance to enroll in tech courses.
This is great. It's long past due. I'm glad to see this bill signed and implemented.
I totally agree, Colonel. It's great to see Congress continuing to improve on already good legislation to make it even better for our service members, veterans, and their families. After all they've sacrificed, it's actions like these that make our military men and women truly feel appreciated. The Pentagon says the military could be affected by the president's decision to end the Obama-era program that protects young immigrants brought into the country illegally as children. The Pentagon says about 900 people currently in uniform, or who have signed up to serve, are recipients of work authorization through the Obama program known as Deferred Action for Childhood Arrival, or DACA. Lieutenant Colonel Paul Haberstick, a Pentagon spokesman, says the Pentagon is coordinating with the Departments of Justice and Homeland Security regarding any impact the change will have on military DACA recipients. Earlier this month, Trump ordered an end to the program in 6 months, giving Congress time to find a solution for the immigrants.
This is a tough situation. We are a constitutional republic, that is, a nation of laws. Our government must enforce those laws evenly and consistently, which the last administration totally failed to do. So now it's time to take some hard steps. President Trump allowed those transsexuals presently in the military who are fully deployable to remain in the military, even as he barred future such enlistments. Perhaps he will allow these illegal aliens to continue, too. I personally think that would be the right thing to do. I'll support whatever he does. It's his call.
Our military recently pulled back surveillance aircraft that had been watching an 11-bus ISIS convoy filled with hundreds of militants and their family members at the request of the Russian government. The ISIS convoy was given safe passage over 10 days ago to travel from the Lebanon-Syria border across the Syrian desert to the Iraqi border in a deal struck between Syria and Hezbollah, which angered the U.S. military. Since the convoy departed, our drones have picked off ISIS fighters when they left the convoy to relieve themselves, according to U.S. officials. Army Colonel Ryan Dillon, a coalition spokesman, said, quote, "We were able to exploit it and take advantage," end quote. The Russian military requested U.S. drones depart the area through the deconfliction line, as Russian-backed Syrian forces battle to recapture the ISIS-held city of Deir ez-Zor, located in eastern Syria. The U.S. official was confident our military would pick up surveillance of the ISIS fighters in the future and said they would not threaten U.S. military forces located in other parts of Syria. A U.S. Army general said he would hold the Assad regime in Syria responsible for dealing with the convoy. Brigadier General John Braga, director of operations for the coalition, said, quote, "The regime's advance past the convoy underlines continued Syrian responsibility for the buses and terrorists. As always, we will do our utmost to ensure that the ISIS terrorists do not move toward the border of our Iraqi partners," end quote. A week ago, the outgoing top U.S. commander in Iraq suggested he had no intention of letting this convoy make it across the desert.
Russia is indeed fighting ISIS in order to sustain the current regime in Syria, which is virtually a satellite of Russia, and Syria provides Russia with its only naval port on the Mediterranean. Why Russia would want to let these terrorists have free passage, and why we would do what they asked, is totally beyond me. And that's the news. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. Coming up on Front Lines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the colonel, and then we'll get a report on a new move to honor our military. Then we'll talk about the breadth of radical Islam with Dr. Zudi Jasser. At ease, troops, take a break.
This is a special alert to consumers who owe back taxes to the IRS.
Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle tax problems. An open phone line has been established by National Tax Relief. Grab a pen or put this number in your cell phone, but call 1-800-210-0311 today. That's 1-800-210-0311. When you call, you'll get information and see if you qualify. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and can't afford to pay them back, there's no need to fear anymore. You may qualify for a program that could settle your tax problems and save you money. For free information and to see if you qualify, call National Tax Relief today at 1-800-210-0311. That's 1-800-210-0311. 1-800-210-0311.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. According to a Bank of America survey, 3 out of 4 Americans plan to do some sort of back-to-school shopping this year. Jason Gaughan is with Bank of America.
As summer comes to a close, Americans are putting vacations behind them and spending on supplies for the classroom. Whether they're hitting the books themselves or picking up pencils for their kids, most plan to spend about $370 on back-to-school expenses. And while the next holiday break feels further than ever away, the right rewards credit card can let all that back-to-school spending get you one step closer to your next vacation. With the Bank of America Travel Rewards credit card, you can earn 1.5 points for every dollar you spend on purchases. Better yet, points don't expire, so you can redeem them when and where you want, including that next school break.
For more information, visit bankofamerica.com/travelconnected. That's bankofamerica.com/travelconnected.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, Honor and Remember. Our nation must never forget those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. This is the mission of Honor and Remember, a nonprofit based in Virginia, with support from their national sponsor, Spartan Nash, the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and fifth largest food distributor. Learn more about how you can continue the mission at honorandremember.org. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Folks, my topic today is our nation's economy. Now, people who know me are laughing now. Whatever else I am, an economist, I'm not. I had to take one semester of economics at West Point, and how I passed it, I'll never know. Throughout my life, credit for any investment success goes to the wonderful financial advisors I've known. However, our nation in general and our military in particular are in such terrible financial situations with demands that seem to be growing. While all our states have requirements to balance their budgets every year, as common sense requires the same thing for people, families, and companies, the federal government has no such requirement. And it's just common sense that anyone, including the government of the United States, can only survive with so much debt before they go under. You may recollect that the Cold War was against the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, the USSR. It all ended when the USSR went broke, literally. It dissolved. It went away in December of 1991. I fear we're very close to that point for the U.S. Some background. President George W. Bush inherited some nasty national debt from President Clinton. Then 9/11 happened, and we began the current war in the Mideast. That cost money. At the end of Bush's term of office, our total debt of our nation was about $10 trillion. President Obama's doubled that debt during his 8 years in office. Obama also drastically cut military funding, which included the number of troops, the amount of equipment they have, the spare parts they have, and research and development for new weapons and equipment, and the resulting purchase of new equipment. Mr. Trump inherited a military that was and is in terrible shape and a national budget that is the worst shape in the history of our nation by far. Then there's dealing with the idiot North Korea. We're having a big military buildup over there, and we're helping our allies in the region, mostly at our expense. And now we have hurricane disasters in Texas and Florida and a few other southern states. This is literally going to cost us billions and billions of dollars, dollars we don't have. Our Navy has been having some collision problems. At least part of that problem is that the ships have had their maintenance and upgrading delayed because we have too few ships for the demands the world situation is placing on them, so worn-out people and parts are sent into stressful situations. The Navy's not alone. I've seen reports that over half of our Marine aircraft can't fly because of lack of spare parts. I'm sure our Air Force has some of the same problem. A serious number of our National Guard units don't have the weapons and equipment they would need if they needed to deploy to war. Their gear has been used in the war we're fighting and has not been replaced. Oh, and let's not forget the thousands of veterans who have been unable to get the care they deserve from our corrupt VA. Yes, the new administration is starting to make the necessary changes, but all this is going to take a lot of time and a lot of money. And then there are the non-military demands from our population. Wouldn't it be nice if the last administration had, say, fixed the nation's roads and bridges and other infrastructure? But they didn't touch it. We don't know where all that money went, but our nation's infrastructure does need upgrading and replacing. Then there's welfare. More and more people who are being paid not to do anything. Of course we have to help those who absolutely can't help themselves, but what good will it do these people if we give them money now and the result is that the nation crashes? We need to tighten down everywhere just to survive. And extra feel-good things like more welfare for Americans who can work but don't want to, and illegal immigrants and their children, we just can't afford it. Our nation will fail. Troops, if our government does the right thing and really cuts way back on most of the government programs, except our military, we'll all feel the pinch. But it's time to pay the piper. All those years of deficit spending for feel-good programs have brought us to this point. Demand your Congress critter cut all but the most critical spending. And those are my comments. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. You're listening to Front Lines of Freedom. And I just heard that my home airport in Grand Rapids, Michigan, will soon have a permanent facility to welcome and support military folks who are traveling. Then I heard that Spartan Nash is the sponsor of this facility. Well, I want to hold this new facility up as an example for communities all across the nation. So joining us now to discuss this is Spartan Nash's Vice President for Corporate Affairs and Communications, Meredith Gremmel. Glad you could join us, Meredith. Welcome aboard.
Thanks, Danny. Great to be with you.
Meredith, I know very little about this plan of yours. I don't know how it's staffed or whatever it is. So tell us the story. This is really cool.
It's very exciting. So the Gerald R. Ford International Airport, which is located in President Ford's hometown of Grand Rapids, Michigan, has been under an extensive remodel and upgrade to the airport itself. And as part of that, they are creating a very cool tribute room to President Ford, and right across from that, Spartan Nash is sponsoring the Military Welcome Center, which will be a great respite place of opportunity for any active duty, reservists, guardsmen, their family members, to stop in, and whether they're deporting or they're waiting for someone to arrive, it's just a neat private room that will have the opportunity for people to, you know, just rest. We're offering complimentary food and beverages in the Welcome Center. It's a little different from some of the military welcome centers around the country because it's outside of TSA, not inside. For those who may have been fortunate to travel through the airport, it's not like a major airport where people may be within the TSA walls for an extended period of time. So when we decided to sponsor it, we went out and checked out what are some of the amenities that other facilities have, and we wanted to make certain that those are there.
Well, that's awesome. When will all this happen? How long before it'll be finalized, or is it already active?
Well, we're in the construction phase right now. There is a ribbon-cutting ceremony scheduled for September 27th, and the Welcome Center will be opening up very shortly after that. We're really, you know, pedal to the metal trying to get everything completed, and it'll include things like the, you know, normal departure, arrival schedules, the display monitors. We also have a really cool display in there, which we're going to be running some profiles on military heroes, as well as any military-related events that are coming up. A lot of times the local American legions and VFW halls, they sponsor welcome home events around the holidays and such, so it'll serve also as kind of a planning and area for families to meet and get ready for those kind of events.
Meredith, that is awesome. My hat's off to Spartan Nash once again, and thank you for joining us to get us up to date on this. I suspect we should do this again once it's open. Thank you, Meredith. I appreciate you.
You bet. Good to hear from you, Denny.
Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk the broad threat of Islamist terror with Dr. Zudi Jasser. Then author Dava Guerin will discuss her new book, Vets and Pets. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You are standing tall with Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. 50 of them, then stand at ease. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
Spartan Nash is excited to support LZ Michigan, a community festival designed to remember, honor, and celebrate veterans and their families.
The event will take place on Saturday, September 23rd at 5th Third Ballpark in Grand Rapids, Michigan. LZ Michigan is free of charge due to the generous support of Spartan Nash, and complimentary tickets will be available at all Spartan Nash retail locations in Michigan starting later this summer.
Learn more at lzmichigan.org.
Dynavite is the best thing that's ever happened to my dogs, you know, besides me, of course.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite for your dog this week.
We'll send you a big tube of Doggo Suds free.
Peppermint, tea tree, lavender, Doggo Suds shampoo.
Made with all-natural coconut, jojoba, aloe.
But no itchy, harsh chemicals.
Lather up, rinse away.
Try Doggo Suds
free this week at Dynavite.com.
Dynavite is nutrition.
DINOVITE.com.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
One that speaks openly of mass murder, vowing death to America, destruction to Israel, and ruin for many leaders and nations in this room.
President Trump making bold statements during an address to the United Nations General Assembly, calling out Iran and their support of terror.
The Iranian government masks a corrupt dictatorship behind the false guise of a democracy. It has turned a wealthy country into an economically depleted rogue state.
Kentucky Senator Rand Paul says the latest measure to fix Obamacare doesn't go far enough. Paul said the latest proposal doesn't fix the major flaws in Obamacare and the nation's health care systems. He said the plan is nothing more than a $1 trillion spending plan. Paul says he's hoping President Trump will back some of his ideas. He'd inject more market competition into health care. USA Radio News.
All day long you hear ads for prostate pills, all promising to end your prostate troubles fast and easy. But how do you know which pills really work and which ones are garbage? The answer is ProstateReport.com. We took every prostate pill on the market, all the top brands, and spent a fortune to have them laboratory tested to see what is really in each brand. The results were jaw-dropping. You'll be shocked when you see what garbage some of the leading brands are really selling you. So go to ProstateReport.com and see the lab reports and reviews the prostate pill companies don't want you to see. Find out which pills really work and which ones are just a big waste of money. This website is already a blockbuster, and right now, this information is still absolutely free. So say goodbye to your prostate problems once and for all. Go to ProstateReport.com. That's ProstateReport.com.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our restaurant showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at huntertonchamber.org.
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. You know, the team of the Eisenhower Center and After the Impact really helps our troops who suffer from traumatic brain injury. They also help professional athletes and first responders, and money's not an issue. These are great people. Learn more at eisenhowercenter.com. Now it's time to welcome back Dr. Zudi Jasser. Dr. Jasser is a U.S. Navy vet, a medical doctor, and the leader and founder of the American Islamic Forum for Democracy. Like me, he's a man committed to his faith and in love with our nation. Welcome back, Zudi.
Oh, it's great to be with you, Denny. Thanks for having me back.
Actually, since you're a Navy guy, I should have said welcome aboard, shouldn't I?
Yes, sir. Great to be on your ship.
Zudi, let's start with your background. You were born and raised in America and ended up in the U.S. Navy for a while. Talk about that.
Yeah, my parents escaped the Ba'ath regime, which is still in power under Assad in Syria in the mid-60s, and I was born a few months after they got here. I grew up in Wisconsin, and after being accepted to medical school, got accepted also for a Navy scholarship, and was on the Health Profession Scholarship Program. After finishing medical school, did my training in internal medicine at Bethesda Naval Hospital, was chief resident. I also served for 2 years aboard ship on the USS El Paso, was part of Operation Restore Hope in Somalia, and then ended up serving my last tour as a physician to Congress. The medical clinic that takes care of the members of Congress and justices is a Navy clinic there at the attending physician's office. So it's, you know, I never imagined that the son of immigrants from a dictatorship that escaped to be free here would be able to be a physician to the members of Congress and serve in the Navy. It was very honorable experience to participate in.
You served the Navy, you got out, and then you started the American Islamic Forum for Democracy. Why did you do that? And what is the mission of that group?
You know, as with many, many Americans, 9/11 changed our lives significantly. And I had come to Phoenix, Arizona, joined my father in practice in 99. A couple years later, 9/11 happens, and all of a sudden I realized, as did many Americans, and I write about this in my book, A Battle for the Soul of Islam, in which I open it in the first paragraph and say that, gosh, I had only been out for a year, and I thought maybe I need to sign up to get those bastards back again, because I realized that the war, the battle that my parents had escaped in the Middle East had come here to attack my fellow countrymen, my fellow Americans. And it was a problem that only we Muslims can solve. Al-Qaeda, be it the fact that 15 out of these 19 were from Saudi Arabia, terrorism is a symptom. Al-Qaeda is a symptom. ISIS is a symptom. The disease is theocratic political Islam. And I realized that we needed, you know, I was listening to all of the talking heads and especially the Muslim leaders that were giving excuses, blaming the West, blaming Israel, every conspiracy theory known. And they were like the alcoholic that refused to acknowledge the first step, which is that they have a problem. And the Muslim leadership in this country are Muslim Brotherhood apologists that are looking to create Islamic states, and they want to decrease the power of the West globally. And I realized that we needed to form a non-Muslim Brotherhood, an anti-Islamist organization. And our American Islamic Forum for Democracy was hatched in 2003. And our mission was to battle for the soul of Islam, to support liberty and freedom through the separation of mosque and state. And that's really the way to solve this problem long term. And I think that's the greatest battle of the 21st century.
Well, that certainly makes a lot of sense. And by the way, your book, The Battle for the Soul of Islam, is one of the very few books that lives on my desk. I got a big bookshelf, but that is an outstanding book that explains a great deal. The topic today is that radical Islam is a lot bigger than ISIS, because an awful lot of people tend to say, okay, they're the bad guys, and that's it.
And that's overly simplistic. Is that a fair way to put it?
It is. I mean, right now, President Trump, I think in the campaign, was right to talk about Islamic radicalism, to insist on naming it what it is. And it goes beyond simply naming it. And once you name it as Islamic, it wakes up the Muslim community to say, hold on, you guys have a problem. You have to deal with it. And I think actually by calling it radical Islam, you narrow the problem down from all Muslims down to those who are radical, who have this ideology. Now, it's a significant problem within the community. But by not naming it, you create two extremes. One is the majority of Americans will think, well, wait a minute, maybe all Muslims could be a problem. Or the other extreme, which is, well, there's no problems at all. It's just a psychiatric criminal problem, which is also this anesthesia that doesn't get us to anywhere. And I think ultimately this is the problem right now. The President Trump, as our commander in chief, seems to be in the last few weeks retreating away from identifying it. His speeches on 9/11 avoided the use of the term Islamic. Vice President Pence in his speech refused to use the term. His speech on Afghanistan and his change in policy did not mention Islamic. Actually, Sebastian Gorka left with a resignation letter saying that was the explicit reason why he left the administration, was the lack of persistence in defining this problem as Islamist. And that worries me, because when you have military solvers, if you will, be it General Kelly, General Mattis, those guys, they're heroes, and they're going to solve ISIS. But you can get rid of ISIS tomorrow, and in 6 months you're going to have a new form of it that wants to form a caliphate, a new radical group. And unless we look at this like a Cold War on steroids, which is, again, the Cold War against the Soviets, while the Soviet Union's gone, Russia's supremacism, its communism, is still not gone. It's still a problem, and we need to continue to advance freedom and democracy. And similarly, we are fighting a battle against Islamic theocrats, be it the Islamic Republic of Iran, the Saudi Wahhabi Sharia state, the Egyptian Sharia state. All of these different Sharia theocracies are a problem, and we need Muslims to engage in this long-term reform, and that's what our Muslim reform movement seeks to do.
Wow. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom, and we're discussing the breadth of radical Islam with Dr. Zudi Jasser. Zudi, I've always felt as a military guy that I need to know who my enemy is, and you need to name them so that I'll know who they are. I'd like to see Congress declare war, and it sounds like you're saying the same thing similarly to what I've been saying. It is the radical Islam theology that's different than the state of Germany or something like that. But we need to name it so we know how to go after it, and you know when you've defeated it. I don't understand why we can't do that.
You know, I'm with you. If we can, you know, let's parse what you just mentioned. You know, if we're talking about ISIS, if we're talking about Islamic Jihad, various radical Islamic groups, Al-Shabaab in Somalia, I'm all for Congress making a declaration of war. I think the rest of it, the ideological battle, much like in the Cold War, we had a Committee on Present Danger, we had a U.S. Information Agency, we had a number of elements of Congress that were moving to create policy and funding to combat the ideology that pretty much a vast majority knew that we had to combat, and they did it through continuing resolutions and other things that made a statement to the sentiment of Congress. I would be against a formal declaration of war because against an ideology, because the only way to defeat bad ideas is with good ideas. So if you have mosques, for example, in the United States that are preaching violence or have arms or whatever it is, then those should be shut down, and that's not, and you know, the Constitution doesn't support that. But if you have mosques preaching hate, anti-Americanism, anti-Semitism, while that's abhorrent and we need to reform it, as in Brandenburg versus Ohio, the Supreme Court ruled in that KKK case that ultimately it's protected speech. It may be abhorrent, but it's protected speech. And I will tell you, the Middle East has proven that when you try to violently or push these groups underground, it actually fuels them. The reason the Brotherhood won the election in Egypt, the reason AKP now in Turkey is running the government and Erdogan is out of control, is for years his movement was underground. You can't monitor things that are underground. You can't defeat them when they're underground. So just as we want to defeat the socialism and the communist ideas in America through debates and public exposure and the antiseptic of sunlight, I think similarly with Islamism domestically and globally, it's much better to defeat it through a public debate.
And there's a lot more to discuss about the threat of radical Islam, and Dr. Jasser is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Go out on your lawn and do 103 push-ups. Then do 20 more sit-ups and take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back.
This is a special alert to consumers who owe back taxes to the IRS.
Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle tax problems. An open phone line has been established by National Tax Relief. Grab a pen or put this number in your cell phone, but call 1-800-210-0311 today. That's 1-800-210-0311. When you call, you'll get information and see if you qualify. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and can't afford to pay them back, there's no need to fear anymore. You may qualify for a program that could settle your tax problems and save you money. For free information and to see if you qualify, call National Tax Relief today at 1-800-210-0311. That's 1-800-210-0311. 1-800-210-0311.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Front Lines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation on radical Islam with Dr. Zudi Jasser. Zudi, there are a large number of Muslims in America. Virtually all of the ones that I know are like you and me. They're good Americans. And these friends are very upset when Muslim groups demand things like certain food in jails or establishing Sharia law in communities. What's an appropriate response for Muslim Americans and non-Muslim Americans who don't support this kind of stuff, when this happens, what's an appropriate response for those who don't agree with these demands for special treatment?
Well, I think now, if we were talking September 12, 2001, or any time in 2002, I'd say, condemnations of terror, things like that are important. But we're 16 years now after that, and we're well beyond simply condemning acts of violence and expecting them to simply say that, well, we're not radical, we're not militant. They need to start dealing with the disease. Our community needs a 12-step program, and we're barely past the first step 16 years into this. So we're past the denial. Now we got to get into engaging our community. And it's just like treating drunk driving, right? You don't just wait at the bars to make sure people don't leave with their keys and with their vehicle. You treat the disease and the families and the homes of alcoholism. So the Islamism, the political Islamic supremacy, the fact that most of the Muslims you and I know don't believe in Wahhabi fundamentalism, but yet the books on their shelves at home are all from Saudi Arabia. And those books aren't treating about the beauty and equality of Jews and Christians and Muslims. Those books say that they're infidels who are going to go to hell, etc. And we need to demand, put a fire under the feet of Muslims to say, listen, you guys need to start creating institutions that leave a legacy that is compatible with American ideas, that is compatible with the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. So I would tell you to tell your Muslim friends, look up our Muslim reform movement. We have a 2-page declaration that has a statement of 15 principles and with 3 different sections, one on peace and security, the other on free speech, and the other on freedom of thought. And on those 3 areas, we declare that we reject all forms of the caliphate, any form of the Islamic State. We reject any laws against apostasy, any laws against blasphemy. So if Muslims are going to live in America, they shouldn't just say that we are going to follow the laws of America, but that if Muslims are a majority, be it in Egypt, Malaysia, wherever it might be, that they would also have similar laws to America, not have an Islamic State. Because if you're just 1% of the population, obviously Muslims aren't going to take over America, but they can't be an insurgency here by saying that, well, we follow the laws of the land, we're not anarchists, but if we're a majority, we're going to tank the Constitution and put the Quran in as the Constitution. And that is a schizophrenic approach to your own society that is devoid of an honesty about the reform that your own faith needs to undergo.
Zudi, that really spoke to me. The recognition that people in general, and particularly people who tend to be radicalized Muslims, you should be joining the societies that you're in, not trying to take over the world one way or another, even if it's peacefully by a vote to vote out the Constitution and in the Sharia law or whatever it is. Be very faithful to your faith, but don't tie it to politics. Is that a fair summary of what you're talking about?
Yeah, and I think the realization, Danny, that needs to be made is that the direct dots that are connected is that it's not just the extremists and the means that they use to get there. The only difference between the Saudi royal family and Al-Qaeda is the Saudi royals have formal militaries. They wear suits and ties when they're in the West. They look all westernized. But yet their laws, they beheaded more people in Saudi Arabia than ISIS did. So their laws are the same. They're just not virally chaotic like ISIS is. They're an organized theocratic dictatorship. And ultimately, we as Muslims need to realize that currently we have no books that are compatible with Jeffersonian democracy. So if you believe in Jeffersonian democracy as a Muslim, you have an obligation to leave a legacy that creates institutions that are like our American Islamic Forum for Democracy or like our Muslim Reform Movement. People can go to MuslimReformMovement.org, take a look at our website, look at the declaration, and see if the Muslims or if you're Muslim, see if the ideas that are at your mosque are compatible, with what we talk about there. Because if they're not, you are leaving a legacy of theocracy, regardless of what you may fool yourself at home to think is your version of Islam.
Wow. I certainly see and agree with that. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. We're discussing the breadth of radical Islam and how to deal with it with Dr. Zudi Jasser. Zudi, it seems to me that a good solution for non-Muslim Americans who have interaction with Muslims to know more about your organization, the American Islamic Forum for Democracy, to give us some tools and some things to bring up in conversation that are not just touchy-feely good feelings, but take us towards the root of the problem. Why don't you talk a little bit about the resources you have available for people and mention the website a couple of times?
Sure. You know, our goal is to create a movement. It's to change a consciousness, and there are different platforms that we do that. Currently, the main platform, obviously, is media on radio programs like yours, on Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, and we've gone from simply our American Islamic Forum for Democracy to a larger movement that includes bipartisan or nonpartisan liberals and conservatives that form this coalition that shares one thing. It includes folks like our organization that's conservative with liberals that are gay rights activists, feminists, but we all share one thing, which is we believe that the Islamic State is a theocratic evil state. That's an idea that we need to defeat and replace with classical liberalism or liberty, if you will, and begin to work with scholars that can reinterpret the Quranic passages that the Wahhabis, we believe, misinterpret, and begin to marginalize hadith, which is sayings of the Prophet that we believe are either illegitimate or need to be circumscribed into history, and separate what is history in Islam from what is interpretation and modern thinking. So those platforms include not only media, but business, working with chambers of commerce to look outside the identity of being Muslim outside the mosque, but into regular society. Platforms at universities, we speak to debates with professors and others that don't necessarily agree with our ideas, and speak to kids, parts of the student organizations. Also interfaith organizations at mosques, synagogues, churches, and temples and others to begin to engage on what real interfaith diversity is all about, and remind people that diversity in the Muslim community is not about ethnic diversity of Arab and Pakistani and African and Western, but diversity of thought, that it should be based on liberal versus conservative versus reform versus modern. That's what diversity is all about. And unfortunately, right now, the Muslim community leadership is all monolithic and is not looked upon as it is an ideological diverse community. And the last platform is government. We like to hopefully shift the policy in the U.S. government from being one based on countering violent extremism, which is a symptom-based approach, which has been a disaster, to countering violent Islamism, which is an ideological approach to engage reformists like our Muslim reform movement.
That makes good sense. And you use the phrase, I think I picked it up from you, you are a Muslim. An Islamist or Islamism is somebody who is at on the extreme. Did I pick that up right?
Yes, I'm Muslim as anyone who practices Islam. Islam is the faith. Islamist is a political movement that believes that the state identity and the legal system and the party, like you say, communist or socialist or capitalist, Islamist is somebody who believes the political party should be an Islamic party, like the Muslim Brotherhood is a classic Islamist political party. So those are the Islamists. So our work is against any mixture of religion and political party identification.
Zudi, thank you so much for that. One more time, what's your website?
Our website is AIFdemocracy.org, AIF as in forum, democracy.org, and also take a look at our coalition, which is muslimreformmovement.org.
Zudi, thank you so much for taking time to join us today. This is so
Anytime.
Important. I really appreciate you. Thank you again, my friend.
Thank you.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour discussing the book Vets and Pets with Dava Guerin. Then we'll discuss and enjoy some Vietnam-era music with Doug Bradley and Craig Warner. And Quentin Roberts and I will review last weekend's Service Academy football games. And, of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America Report. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops go outside and run some wind sprints for a couple of miles. Then grab some protein and rehydrate with water. Finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.
This report is brought to you by the National Cybersecurity Alliance. Many consumers do not fully understand how to protect their personal information online. They need to carefully consider the data they continuously generate about themselves and others from their mobile devices and PCs. Michael Kaiser with the National Cybersecurity Alliance.
Your personally identifiable information is like money. Value it, protect it. At staysafeonline.org, the National Cybersecurity Alliance offers free tips for keeping a clean PC and protecting your privacy online. For tips on how to protect your smartphone or tablet, check out DigitalU at onlinesafety.att.com. DigitalU is a program from our friends at AT&T that provides free tips and tools for protecting your devices and data, keeping your personal information secure, and keeping you safe online.
Protect your privacy online. Visit the National Cybersecurity Alliance at staysafeonline.org and AT&T DigitalU at onlinesafety.att.com for more information.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
One that speaks openly of mass murder, vowing death to America, destruction to Israel, and ruin for many leaders and nations in this room.
President Trump making bold statements during an address to the United Nations General Assembly, calling out Iran and their support of terror.
The Iranian government masks a corrupt dictatorship behind the false guise of a democracy. It has turned a wealthy country into an economically depleted rogue state.
Kentucky Senator Rand Paul says the latest measure to fix Obamacare doesn't go far enough. Paul said the latest proposal doesn't fix the major flaws in Obamacare and the nation's health care systems. He said the plan is nothing more than a $1 trillion spending plan. Paul says he's hoping President Trump will back some of his ideas. He'd inject more market competition into health care. USA Radio News.
Does how you feel interfere with your lifestyle? Take control before it does. Harvard Medical recently published a paper on how to decrease your risk of cancer, heart disease, blood pressure, diabetes, bowel and vision problems. The answer, backed by dozens of studies, is not vitamins. It's eating more fruits and vegetables in their whole, complete form. Four simple tips that I've used with my patients over the years are: 1. Keep fruits and vegetables where you can see them readily. 2. Get crazy. Explore the produce aisle and choose something new. 3. Make it a meal. Try new recipes that include more vegetables and fruits. And the easiest of all, to get the complete nutrition of 31 different fruits and vegetables every day, take Balance of Nature.
What are you waiting for? Don't miss your opportunity to get a free month supply of Balance of Nature. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code USA.
A violent riot last night at Georgia Tech University.
Several dozen people marched to the campus police station after the vigil Monday night, setting a police SUV on fire. At least three people are facing charges of inciting a riot and battery of an officer. Two police officers suffered minor injuries during the confrontation. Georgia Tech officials issued a shelter-in-place alert when the violence erupted. It was lifted after Atlanta police assisted Tech officers with restoring order relatively quickly. The vigil was for 21-year-old Scout Schultz, an engineering student who was shot to death Saturday night by police after he refused orders to drop a knife.
The Secret Service no longer protecting Donald Trump Jr. so he can have more privacy. That's according to an anonymous person familiar with the situation who can't comment publicly, as the Secret Service won't say who is and who isn't under protection. The Secret Service is hitting a wall when it comes to the budget for protecting the president and his large family, particularly with the frequent traveling they do. The president's oldest son often travels on behalf of the family's business interests. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for pre-1933.com. I've been the single biggest BBB, backer, believer, and buyer of gold for over 15 years. But now I've found a better way to buy gold. I found the Uber of gold. This company, pre-1933.com, will forever change the way gold is sold. Pre-1933.com is a wholesaler of pre-1933 gold. They have no salesman, zero commission, prices no one can compete with. Call 855-PRE-1933. That's toll-free, 855-773-1933, or go to pre-1933.com.
Fox News and one of their hosts being sued by a former contributor for sexual assault. Here's correspondent Chris Barnes.
Scotty Nell Hughes is accusing Charles Payne of rape and the network of retaliation. Hughes filing the suit in federal court on Monday, accusing the Making Money host of sexually assaulting her in 2013.